Welcome. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time that you have given us to reflect on how we can grow leaders that will go beyond us. And so help us to understand your word as applied to our time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic I was given by Mar was growing leaders that will go beyond me. Because sometime back in my ministry, which I started in 1995, after about 22 years, I handed it over to another young man. And I'll tell you that quite a number of people are wondering whether I was in my right senses to hand over that ministry, because I had started it from scratch, and it was through a lot of struggle. And God had been with us. We had been able to buy some land in the city of Kampala. We had been able to raise some money and to build a good building that even at this moment when you go there, compared with some of the churches in the neighborhood, it's a good building. And in terms of value, the whole property is very expensive right now with the land that is attached to it. And so many other people are saying, wow, this is what all of us would aspire to have. And how do you get it and then hand it over to some other person who just came in your ministry a few years ago? But I am going to explain the why I gave it away to some other person, and also I'm going to show you how I did it. The Bible has many outstanding examples of successful leaders who prepared well, men who would replace them when the time for their exit was ripe. In so doing, the work of God continued efficiently and successfully. We can as well successfully prepare people for such a time in our life. The outstanding examples include the following: Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and the 12 disciples, Paul and Timothy. Now, this is why we must prepare people that should outlive us or should serve beyond us. One, we must be intentional. We must have a reason why we should do it. There must be an intention why we should prepare people that should serve after us. Jesus called the disciples with the intention that he made known to them outright. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, he tells them, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And these men heard him speak why he was calling them. And I believe they started being excited about how would this man make us fishers of men. God has chosen us and appointed us purposefully to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, in John chapter 15, verse 16. Number two, remember the work does not belong to us. It belongs to Jesus. Many people I have known and in our country and even beyond, when they start a ministry, they really own it. They want to control everything. They want even those who succeed them probably to be their sons and daughters or whatever. blood sons or biological sons. But I don't think that that's how God intends it to be. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. "And I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." We are just co-workers with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. We must pray that he helps us do his work." According to Mark chapter 11, verse 34, the Bible says that whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive it and it will be yours. So if we are going to be intentional, then and knowing that the work is not ours, then we must pray that he helps us get someone who will continue doing the work that he has entrusted us with. Number three, we must preach the gospel of the kingdom and train people to do the same until when the whole world would have heard for Jesus to come back. You know, all of us as preachers, we desire and pray that Jesus will come back. And I would desire that Jesus comes when I'm still alive. But of course we know Jesus said that it's not until this gospel of the kingdom has been preached everywhere that the end will come. So the question is, from your own analysis, has the gospel been preached everywhere? No. So we must pray. We must preach the gospel of the kingdom. And we must train people to preach this gospel of the kingdom. We must pray that this gospel of the kingdom is preached everywhere. Today we talk of the internet, YouTube, helping people to hear the gospel everywhere. And we should pray that this opportunity will be available for people in China, in other places that are still closed to the gospel. And that's when, of course, the end will come according to Jesus. Number four, the kingdom of God, the Father and his Son will never end. In Luke chapter 1, verse 33, I quote, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So this work we are doing is kingdom work, and the kingdom belongs to our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not my biological kingdom. It's our Father's kingdom. And so when we are serving, we know that we have been trusted, and those who have been given the trust must be found faithful. That's what my Bible says. So we must be faithful to the one who has called us so that his work can be accomplished successfully. And number five, ministry is like a relay race. We should play our part of the race and prepare to hand the baton to someone of the next generation excitedly. For when he wins, we all win. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In other words, Jesus was sent by the Father to us on earth to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And before he went, in fact, at this moment, he had already died on the cross and resurrected. He was instructing his disciples and said, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." So we are also on that mission. The mission, God sent his Son on a mission, and he trained the 12, and now he was sending them also on a mission that the Father had sent him on. And even us now, we are in the footsteps of those who were his disciples. And so we are encouraged to train people also to do this mission. It's a continuation of what Jesus started here. And so we must be aware of this truth, that this time I am here, I have the baton, time should come, I should prepare a time to give the baton to someone else. And when that person does better, in fact, I always tell them that you guys are going even to do better than us. Me, I am the first person to start DAV in Uganda. You guys, you are lucky. You are hearing this gospel from me from when you are so young. And so you are going to be grounded far better, and you are going to do better job than I. So let us know that it's like a relay race. And when you hand it over to somebody else, be excited And indeed, on that day, when I was handing over, I'll tell you that story later on, we invited so many people to come and see how this was being done. And those others who were wondering whether I was normal, they came to see how I was handing over. And now this young man who is preaching in that church which I gave him, it was actually like being given some treasure on a silver platter. The building is so good and clean, and I mean, the way God provided the finances, he himself doesn't have that the means, but the Lord used me to make friends who gave me money, who trusted me with money, and the building is there. It's very nice. And the fellow is very happy. And many young people come there. You are going to hear these stories. So, every believer has been spiritually gifted to use the gift for ministering or serving others in the church. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 to 11, you'd see, of course, how Paul talks about the various giftings that the Holy Spirit has given the church for the good of all. And he has given the church, has given individuals the giftings to for the service of others as he wills, as he chooses. Not us, pastors, to choose that so-and-so should get this gift of singing, of leadership. No, the Spirit chooses as he wills and gives someone a gift. And so we are saying here that each believer is therefore a minister. According to Ephesians 4, 7 to 12, believers have been given spiritual gifts as Jesus ascended to heaven. It is our responsibility to help our people to identify their spiritual gifts and to serve in those gifts. And when I first visited Dove, way back in 1995, I think, 1995, yes. When I first visited, I remember Brother Steve Prokopchak gave us many papers, and we were trying to discover our spiritual giftings. And I remember after we had filled them in, he took some time and was able to give us some, let's say, not marks, but classes or classifications as to what giftings we had. And for sure enough, what I had shown according to that those gifting tests, he said, "Ephraim, you are a David." I said, "Yes, a David. Okay, tell me more." He said, you are a pastor. You're a shepherd. You love people." I told him, I said, "That's right. I love being with people. I like talking with people. I like encouraging people. I may not be talking with people anyhow, but the moment you give me this microphone, we'll talk." So at the same time, speaking one-to-one, we can talk. At times, my wife has said, "When people come to this house, I lose you." I start talking with people. I love people. And so I found that was my spiritual gift, being a pastor, being a shepherd. And so from that time, I learned that the people that the Lord brings in the church, I am supposed to help them to get to know where they belong. And I do it this way. Of course, I go to the internet. There are some other information and some questions that can help us to help others. But also, I tend to ask people, said, "What do you like doing in church? What excites you when you are here? What would you like to serve us?" Because we believe as Dove that every believer is a minister. So what would you like to minister us in? I said, "Okay, don't worry, take your time and think about it." And somebody will tell you, "You know what? I would like to do this." And I say, "Okay, we'll try and see." And I encourage that person to do what he feels comfortable with. And in the long run, these fellows eventually prove that surely that's where they belong, and they do the job very well. Number seven, we lead in the kingdom of servants as servant leaders and not bossing over those we lead, expecting human honors and status. Again, I would say that in our country, we have pastors that really like honors. You know, when the some fellows start getting like 100 members in the congregation or 200 or 300, they really gather, they grow wings, I should say. And in our country, they like being guarded. You find somebody doesn't carry the Bible. Some people have to carry their Bibles. Others are following, others are ahead of him. He's in the middle going to minister. Now, many times I've asked them, I said, was Jesus having any security around himself whenever he would be entering a certain town? Or he had followers who were excited about what he was going to do, like casting out devils, and some others wanted to see miracles and signs and wonders. They followed him so for entertainment and others. But we don't see anywhere in the Bible where he had security. Now, some of our leaders have become pastors and their status has been elevated. And when they come to gathering, they want to be honored. This is, oh, welcome, Pastor so-and-so. Welcome, Minister so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so. Oh, welcome, Bishop so-and-so. I think this is not what we are called for. And I tell our people, surely in our church in Dove, we are not serving for status or honors. We honor Christ here. And so if Christ has trusted you with some gifting, well, to God be the glory, not you to be glorified for that gifting which you have been given for serving God's people. So Jesus said, but I'm among you. No, I've left out something. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the surface of the earth. That's in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And Jesus said, but I'm among you as one who serves. So as servants in the kingdom, we must humble ourselves. This is what we are learning this morning. We must be humble. And indeed, quoting what was said today, we see Peter saying that, commanding us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will uplift us. He will promote us. If we humble ourselves as ministers of the gospel, he will uplift us. He will promote us to levels that we cannot even imagine. Number eight, our time on earth is limited. Yes, I started Dove when I was just after 40, in 1995, I was in my early 40s. And you can imagine last year in September, we celebrated 30 years of ministry of Dove in Uganda. And it was such a big, big occasion. Hey, this couple, we were blessed to have this couple attending, plus other Dove ministers, including Mao and other friends. We must learn to count our days. Yeah, the way I was when I started Dove, I am no longer the same. And those of you who were with us when we started coming here, oh, Phil knows me when we first came. I had all my hair. It was all dark and youthful in my early 40s. And I was full of energy. But as time goes, I realize something is happening in my body, whether I want it or not. And I'm getting old. I'm getting aged. So, for sure, Moses here, we read that our time on earth is limited. We will die off. Whether we want it or not, we will die. We must prepare for our exit, because all we can live and serve is for about 70 to 80 years, according to Psalm 90 and verse 10. This is not a rule that we will die at that age. But let us not be arrogant as if we will never die. Yeah, there are some pastors that are so arrogant. They talk as God is saying, hallelujah. And at times, I don't think that God commands us to change our voices in such a way because we have a big church. We don't have to change the way we behave before people. We don't have to be arrogant, because we will, at one time, lose the strength, and this body that was arrogant will start getting weak, wilting away. Because that's what happens. So let us, we should ask God to give us a heart of wisdom. In fact, in Psalm 90:12, this is a psalm where Moses was praying for the children of Israel as he led them. He was saying they should pray to get wisdom and to be able to count their days, because we only live for a short while. So as we are alive, we should use this time to prepare for those who are going to come after us, who are going to be stronger than us. Because there are some things that we can no longer do. Many years ago, people who would visit our country from America, I would take them hiking, climbing some mountains. And because I was born in mountains, and they would be surprised, they would see me going ahead of them. Ephraim, you seem to be older than us, but you are so fast. I said, no, that's okay. I grew up in mountains, and I went to school from my home. I would climb a mountain, go down the mountain, and then go run to school every day, 5 days a week, so many days in the school town. So I grew up knowing how to climb mountains. But now, now it's a little bit tricky. When I try to climb, yes, I reach somewhere, I have to go slowly. Because this body is getting older, is getting weaker. And so we must prepare. The work that we used to do at a certain age, we cannot do it. In fact, we must prepare to give the baton to these other younger ones. This was Moses' prayer for the people of Israel, knowing that life is limited and so must be lived purposefully. What will happen to my work if I die today? If all of you are leaders, the question is, suppose you die today, what would happen to your work? That's why we have to prepare. Many times, I told my children that, hey, you guys, if I ever die away from Uganda, you don't have to waste money or raising money to bring my body to Uganda. I will have gone to heaven. They just laughed. They said, well, you will not be here. We will want you buried here, of course. But what I'm trying to say is, surely there is no work after we are dead. And yet, because we love our work so much, we wouldn't like our work to stop where our life stops. Our work should go on. And I would desire to see more churches planted in Uganda, more powerful pastors who are preaching the word of God with a lot of energy, a lot of joy, a lot of excitement coming out of Dove, Uganda. And that's why I am preparing many other leaders to take over and lead the church when I retire. And I would want to retire one of these few days and to say, hey, young man, just go. I'll be praying for you. Or if you want, I'll follow you, let alone. You go and preach. Go and disciple in those parts of the country where we don't have churches yet. So, I have just given you the why we need to prepare. No matter what, no matter how healthy you feel now, you need to prepare because you are not going to live eternally in this body. Now, this is what I have done. This is my story. I started Dove Uganda in 1995 and pastored that first church from that time till 2017. I handed it over to a young man who was in his early 30s then. Some of my friends in other ministries asked me whether I was in my right senses to hand over a church I'd struggled with from poor structures till now, when the church has property, has a good auditorium that many other ministers aspire to own. The church is doing well under the young leadership when I'm in my early 70s. And now the senior pastor is now in his early 40s. The senior pastor of the church, which I handed over, is now in his early 40s. This is how I did it. I raised a team of intercessors who would pray for me as I was interested in traveling to start or encourage new congregations. So I made sure that we had intercessors right from the beginning of our church. Pastor Lally would encourage us, would encourage me, please have people to back you with prayer. And indeed, some of those people I got who started praying with me and for me are still in the church, are still intercessors. Some other new ones have been added. Number two, I intentionally trained potential leaders every Friday evening for 2 hours whenever I would be home. Every Friday from about 6 to 8, we would be at church every Friday. And I would be training them in ways of how to start sales, how to run sales. And this helped them, this excited them to start also starting sales and lead sales. Number three, I taught about cell group leadership in particular as I read a lot of literature from Dove International, of course, Rale's books, and others to discover that the fastest growing churches on earth, they are all cell based. I discovered that and I got excited about that. Number four, I ensured the potential leaders put into practice what I taught them as I watched them do it. As Bible teachers in cell groups, and even Sunday preachers, as I identified talent. So in so doing, I was seeing people really progress, learning and putting into practice what I was teaching them every week. Number five, I originally traveled with some of these leaders. Eventually, whenever I went to visit our new congregations, so that they could learn how I was managing the new churches. I was training them by apprenticeship, as Jesus did. I still travel with some, even up today. I don't travel alone. Jesus always sent 2 by 2. And so now, because I am training people, I don't travel alone. From the beginning, we were blessed eventually with a van. And so in this van, I make sure that I travel with at least 2 people. And when I'm preaching, they are seeing what I'm doing. When I'm teaching, they see what I'm doing. Now, in the long run, they are also now involved in teaching. They're involved in preaching in these places where we go. So that now they can also tell you. In fact, many times some have testified, those regional leaders, they have testified to me. You told us this. I don't remember even telling them that. You told us this, you taught us this, and this is what we are doing, and it is working. Number six, eventually, I delegated by sending some of these leaders to the field 2 by 2, as Jesus did. And most of these have started congregations of their own. Some of these people that I used to train in Dove Kampala, some of them, as I traveled with them, eventually some of them have started their own congregations. And if you were to visit me, I would show you some of those pastors and say, this fellow was in our church at the beginning. Now, eventually, he became interested in starting his own congregation, and he has a congregation. Others have traveled away from the city, have started the churches elsewhere, having been under my leadership for a number of years. Number seven, I have been spending time with these leaders individually or as a group. I call most of these leaders regularly on phone. I call them, hey, how are you doing? How is your wife? How are things? How is the church doing? What challenges are you meeting? And they tell me, and we pray, and they get encouraged. And number eight, I have encouraged them to work hard and encouraged them as Jesus encouraged the disciples that their work is going to be greater than what I have been doing. Jesus told his disciples this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That's in John chapter 14 and verse 12. I believe Jesus was saying this for the purpose of encouraging them. That surely, much as they were marveled by the miracles, the signs and wonders, but he was telling them that they were also going to do these things. And greater works than these, or greater things than these, they were going to do because he was going to the Father. And even us, and even these leaders that I'm training, I tell them, we are going to see more churches planted by you. We are going to see more people trained by you. We are going to see your churches being bigger than ours here, because God is going to use you powerfully. And they say, they smile. And they believe so. Yes, by way of encouraging them that surely this God who is at work in me, he the same God who shows no favoritism. He's going to use them as much as he has used me. And it gives me a lot of joy. And so I expect them to outperform me, and they're doing it. And when some, like the pastor in Dove Kampala, he expects me to preach. We have got a Thanksgiving Sunday in November every year. We have the last Sunday in November every year. It's our Thanksgiving Sunday for all. I started it when I was the pastor there. Now it has spread to various Dove churches in the country. So he knows that it is me going to preach there. Nobody else says that Thanksgiving Sunday. It's a tradition in that church. I'm the one who goes to preach. And I challenge them. I say, we need to thank God for him who has enabled you to reach where you are. The church is doing far better. I tell them, you are doing far better than I was doing. Some of the people that were my members are no longer there. Some are there, but others left for other ministries, or others went to start churches. But they have many new young people, and they are doing very well. And I encourage them. I encourage the young people. I encourage the leaders there that they should remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are being obedient. And if they are going to remain obedient, surely God is going to use them for his glory. May the Lord bless you as you think and plan of training people who are going to lead after you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.